Arkansas is known for a while now. It was going to be spending Thanksgiving in Portland for the Phil Knight Invitational, but yesterday the Razorbacks found out who they're going to play. Arkansas opens the tournament against Oklahoma in the first round on Thanksgiving Day in an afternoon game. If the Razorbacks win that game, they're more than likely looking at a rematch against defending national champion North Carolina. The Tar Heels play Portland in the first game. Assuming they do not get upset, you would think they win that game. Assuming they don't get upset, then you're looking at a rematch of that great NCAA tournament second round game in March. Obviously, Arkansas led that game by 5 late, and North Carolina rallied, won the game, went on to win the national championship. So really, when you look at the draw that Arkansas got, you've got two just natural storyline games in the matchup with OU, a team that you've played, you know, numerous times in the past, and you share a border with them. And then North Carolina, which is a rematch of a great game from the NCAA tournament last year, one of their better games in the tournament. So Arkansas is going to be happy regardless of who they played, just because of the great field that the tournament has. There's 16 teams total, 2 8-team brackets. A lot of conferences sent 2 teams, so they split teams from each conference up. For example, Florida is in the opposite bracket as Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Texas are split up. But it's a who's who of college basketball. A lot of great programs. There will be a lot of star power there. Here to talk with us about it, here to talk with us about the Razorbacks and just college basketball in general, is ESPN's Jay Billis. Jay, thanks for taking some time out to chat with us for a bit.
Sure thing. My pleasure.
No, you're busy. So let's just jump right into it. Obviously, we've known the teams that were going to be in the tournament for a while, but they released the brackets yesterday. Obviously, it's hard to go wrong when you've got that much talent, that many good programs that are in the field. But what did you think of the job that they did putting the brackets together? And I guess specifically for Arkansas, it seemed like they kind of catered to them and they set up the border game with OU, and then you've got the potential rematch with North Carolina in the second round. Just what do you think of the brackets as a whole?
I think the matchups are awesome. You know, there were some challenges, I'm sure, in putting this together simply because you had so many teams that were in the same conference, so you can't have them play. You know, they don't play in early season conference early season tournaments when they're in the same conference. You know, there's no two teams in the Maui Invitational or all these other tournaments. So, you know, you can't put Duke and Carolina in the same one and all that stuff. And same kind of deal. So, you know, two Big 12 teams, you can't put them in the same bracket. But what was done here is really, really impressive to have North Carolina, Arkansas, you know, Michigan State, and then Connecticut and Oregon in the same bracket is extraordinary. That's going to be really fun. And, you know, you can come out, you can play really, really well in this tournament and come out 1-2.
Yeah, for sure. Arkansas should be kind of an interesting team next year because they won 26 games in 2016-17. They returned 6 seniors. They just got the news recently that both Daryl Macon and Jalen Barford are coming back for their senior years, which is a big deal. They both could be potentially all SEC guards. At the same time, they lose 3 really, really important players to the program in Moses Kingsley, Dusty Hannes, and Manny Watkins. They do have a good recruiting class coming in. What do you feel like the ceiling is for Arkansas next year? Is this an NCAA tournament team? Again, will they be back in March Madness, or do you think that's something that you kind of take a wait-and-see approach and something that they might have to prove to you once the season begins?
Oh, they'll make the tournament again. I think with the jump they made last year, they'll maintain the consistency they found last year. I really like the way they play. They play really hard, and they play together, and I think they defensively they're much better. They did a better job on the glass and establishing their tempo all the time, especially as they got toward the end of the season. Arkansas became a much better team in that regard of consistency of pace, and in North Carolina all they could handle, and that was a really excellent North Carolina team. So I'm a big believer that Arkansas is going to be as good, if not better, this year.
You mentioned defense, which is something that I wanted to touch base with you about, because the North Carolina game was probably Arkansas's best defensive performance of the year, all things considered, just how talented North Carolina was and the way Arkansas was able to make them uncomfortable, pressure them, and speed the game up. But as a whole, Arkansas was not a good defensive team last year. In fact, 2 years in a row now have been two of the three worst teams Mike Anderson has had in his 15 years as a coach from a defensive standpoint. When you look at points per 100 possessions or turnover rate, they just haven't been as good as teams that he's put out there in the past. And I think a lot of it probably has to do with personnel. They haven't had a lot of length on the wing. And that's something they've tried to address in recruiting, targeting guys that are longer, better defenders, probably more athletic than who they've had on the roster in the past. But how much of that is how much of their defensive struggles are probably the result of the roster, and how much of it is maybe the result of the way that college basketball is trending now, with rule changes that benefit the offense, coaches maybe being better prepared to attack pressure defense? Is it tougher now than it was in the past to play pressure defense, or is it just something where you have to have the talent on that side of the ball to be effective, and that's kind of what we've seen with Arkansas the last few years?
I don't think it's getting harder to do. It's obviously hard to do. I think, you know, pressing teams create opportunities for both teams. You know, opportunities to turn somebody over and get easy baskets, but opportunities to give up easy baskets to teams that handle pressure effectively. And, I think one of the issues is, I mean, you've got to score too.
Right.
And, so if you're not generating turnovers and generating points on turnovers, you have to be efficient on the offensive end. And I do think Arkansas has gotten better there, but it's not just one thing. It's not style of one. It's execution within that style. And you know, your point about length, athleticism, but it's also a question of togetherness and execution.
Okay.
And so as long as they execute at that high level of what they're doing, I don't think style is an issue. That style has been proven to work. And, you know, West Virginia's using it. You're seeing more teams that press. But as a full 40-minute style, it's difficult to play. And I think Arkansas does it very well.
So I wanted to get your perspective, sort of a national view, on Mike Anderson. He's been to Arkansas 6 years now and is heading into his seventh season this next year in 2017-18. He's admitted that it didn't get started, didn't get off the ground as quickly as he would have liked, as quickly as it happened at UAB and Missouri. It took them 4 years to make the NCAA tournament here, but they've made it two of the last 3 years. They've won 26-plus games in both years that they did make it. Where do you see this program as it currently stands, as it projects toward the future, and how do you evaluate the job that he's done so far in his time at Arkansas?
I think Mike's done a nice job. You know, it's difficult to come in and turn things around right away. And, you know, the players today as fans, I mean, they remember, you know, sort of the Nolan Richardson 40 minutes of hell when they're watching a 30 for 30.
Right.
But it's not forefront of their minds. It was a long time ago, frankly. And so he's trying to build something essentially new, and is doing a really good job. But the good things take time. You know, you can't just come in and wave a magic wand and everything happens. But you know, people expect that. You know, they expect in a short period of time that everything's going to change. And oftentimes, that's not the way it happens, nor is it the best way to have something happen. So, Mike's a really good coach, and he's doing a good job, and if they can build upon last year, especially in recruiting, they can make a big jump. Harder now than they used to be.
Switching gears a little bit, the SEC last year, after being mocked, ridiculed, rightfully so, for a number of years for being plainly a bad basketball conference, it seemed like it made a little bit of a comeback. They got five teams in the tournament. Everybody had a pretty good showing, a respectable showing in the tournament. Obviously, South Carolina got hot and went to the Final Four. When you look around the conference and you see an Avery Johnson at Alabama, Bruce Pearl at Auburn, Ben Hallen at Mississippi State, Rick Barnes at Tennessee, and then you've got your Kentucky is always going to be Kentucky, Florida and Arkansas both seem like they're getting back to where they have been in the past. Missouri's adding talent. I mean, just top to bottom, it seems like the league is maybe set up to be deeper in the future. I mean, would you agree with that? Where do you see the conference standing next year? I mean, are you a buyer or seller on the SEC sort of building back up to be a respectable basketball conference moving on into the future?
Oh, I'm a buyer. I think the SEC is going to continue to improve. And, I think the performance in the tournament last year is a real springboard for people paying attention. I mean, that's always been an opportunity for folks to dismiss the strides that the league has made. And it's made strides over the last few years and gotten more consistent, much better. Much better level of player being recruited and brought in, and I think scheduling has improved. The teams are playing better non-conference schedules.
Right.
But you have to win. You have to win against those. It's not just enough to play, you have to win. But I think the spotlight of the NCAA tournament success will do wonders for the way people view the league.
Last question, because I know you're busy. I know you've got a lot of stuff on your plate, and we appreciate you taking out as much time as you have to talk to us. But wanted to kind of pick your brain about, bring it full circle and pick your brain about the PK80, because obviously you've been around college basketball for a long time, and you're no stranger to big spectacles of non-conference tournaments, showcases, just talented groups of teams that are brought together. Where do you think this ranks? I feel like you could make the case that it's probably fairly easily the best collection of talent that'll be assembled in the non-conference next year. But where do you think that it ranks as you go back through the years, just looking at, modern history of college basketball, where this tournament ranks from just the collection of talent and the quality of programs that it's bringing together?
I think it may be the premier non-conference showcase we've ever seen.
Okay.
I think it's that good. And, I've never seen anything like this. And I'm sure, there have been really good non-conference tournaments before. But this is the best I've ever seen. And I think it'll be an extraordinary event. The only other thing I think approaches this is the Champions Classic at the Maui Invitational.
Mm-hmm.
But there's only one Maui Invitational. There are two of these.
Right.
Really impressive.
Well, man, I really, really appreciate you taking out some time to
sure
chat.
See you, man.
That was ESPN's Jay Billis, kind enough to spend a little while and chat about the Razorbacks, about the Phil Knight Invitational, and we really appreciate it. So, obviously, this is never a bad thing when you can get a little bit of basketball in early June, I guess late May, early June, and that's kind of the news of this tournament allowed us to talk about the Razorbacks a little bit. I'm still got a lot of stuff planned to write this summer. Obviously, there will be plenty of guys coming back next year, a lot of new faces, kind of an interesting mesh of talent. So plan on spending some time kind of trying to figure out, piece together how all the pieces are going to fit. But again, our thanks to Jay Billis, and follow us at Whole Hog Sports on Twitter. Check us out, wholehogsports.com, and it should be your go-to stop for all your Razorback news.